Welcome to Look Up with Pastor Mike and his wife Linda Sasso of Calvary Chapel of Eagle, a radio ministry designed to assist you in applying God's Word to your everyday life. For the next hour, Pastor Mike and Linda will encourage you with your walk with Christ and help you look up to Jesus. If you need advice on marriage, life challenges, or relationships, call in now. It's time to look up to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Here's Mike and Linda.
Well, hey, folks, this is Pastor Mike. Thanks for tuning in or staying tuned. And when you hear the music and the Look Up to Jesus song coming, not turning your radio off.
Yeah, that's nice.
We appreciate you sticking with us. And we are going to continue in our series. We're looking at how to become a Christian, or you might subtitle it, how to have a relationship with God, because many of these things relate to just an ongoing relationship with God. By the way, it is Friday, March 8th, 2019. If you're wondering if this is a rerun or not, and now you know if you could call in. And you can if you're listening live right now. But if you're listening to a recording, you can't. Anyway, figure that out yourself. Listen, we've already covered three of the seven of these points on just how to have a relationship with God. And we hope you stay tuned to find the rest. Listen through this with us. And you know what? We don't want to be so naive as to think that everybody who listens to Christian radio is a Christian. You know, not everyone who goes to church is a Christian. And we recognize that you could be just checking things out. You could be curious, or maybe you've been cut off from a church fellowship. You've had a bad experience. There's so many stories out there. We recognize we're all different. We all come from a different spot. But we're going over some basic truths that should apply to everyone. Whether you've had a bad experience in the church and don't go to church anymore because you've been hurt, whether you were raised in a church and maybe you're not really even born again. You just raised in a church. You know, we used to have an
Christian
old saying.
Christian lifestyle,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, we had a saying years ago, you know, just because you were born in a garage doesn't mean you're a car. Ha, ha, ha. Anyway, the point is made. But, you know, just because you go to church doesn't mean you're a Christian. So we're going to talk more about that. So please stay tuned and keep your ears open because we're going to talk about the important essential elements of a relationship with God. But I also want to remind you, we are a live show and we love to hear from our callers. We love it when you text or comment on Facebook Live. I particularly love it when you call in because I like to talk to the people. And you know, even if, like I've told you before, even if it's something that you catch us off guard with a question or an issue or a topic that we're not in, that's okay. I just take that as from the Lord. He wants us to deal with that. And you bet. You could bet that any questions or any trouble or any problems you're facing, it's not just you. Many times somebody will call in with a question or something that's troubling them. We start talking, and I realize there are hundreds of people out there who are listening who need to hear this. So don't be afraid to call in. Linda's going to tell you how to do that.
Hello, everybody. Hey, how about you guys? Is the enemy on a warpath right now? He is with us. Because the Lord is moving, and the enemy is not happy about that. But that's okay. We can get knocked down. We get back up again, right? The Lord lifts us up. We move forward in His Spirit, and we keep going. So I told you, we feel like there is this spark of revival going on at Calvary Chapel Eagle, and the enemy is going to try to stomp it or throw buckets of water on it. Isn't going to work because Jesus is Lord of Calvary Chapel Eagle. We make sure it stays that way, yeah? If you would like to call in and talk to us live on the radio, that number is 208-377-3790. Again, that is 208-377-3790. If that really scares you, the idea of talking live on the radio, you can send a text message to Calvary Chapel Eagle's phone, 208-891-2635. And if you're out there in Facebook Live land, go ahead, leave us a message there and put something in those comments. And if it's appropriate, we end up talking about it. Sometimes you guys just chatter back and forth to each other, and we understand that. But sometimes there's an important question that comes up, and so we end up trying to address that and answer it. So, okay.
All right, well, tell you what, we just talked about that. We do have a caller. We have Ashley from California. Are you there, Ashley?
Yes. Hi, Pastor Mike.
Hey, good to hear your voice. How you doing?
Pretty good. How are you?
Very good. So what is your question? You have a comment or question here?
I actually do have a question on something. Okay. I've been watching a lot of different videos on this certain topic. I was wondering what the Bible says about being FCM.
Okay.
Being what? Say, clarify that for us. We're old.
basically, I was wondering what the Bible was saying on the lifestyle of being FCM, like basically becoming female to male.
Transgender. So they don't call it transgender anymore? There's a new title for it? Is that what you're talking about?
For transgender, there's different types of like genders. Like there's female to male, there's male to female. But my question was, what is God saying on it, and what does the Bible have to say? And I would like your guys' both opinions on it.
Okay. There's several ways to go with it. I want to have scriptures, but I also want to talk from the medical profession. Because one thing that I've become more and more aware of, let's just talk common sense, practical, medical. Right now, it's a real rage. People choosing whatever gender you feel you're comfortable with. What is your identity? You gotta identify, and that's who you are. Don't anybody question it. There's a real tidal wave right now, Ashley, of people who have had sex changes and regret it. And I'm talking about people who have been miserable. They've been unhappy. They feel like I'm not fulfilled. I'm a boy trapped in a girl's body, a girl trapped in a guy's body, and I gotta fix this. I'm just so miserable. And then they spend all this money and get surgery. I mean, it's as you are probably aware, there's a lot of surgical, there's a lot of hormonal things. There's all kinds of treatment and counseling involved, only to find out that many, many people now are coming out, so to speak, coming out of the closet and confessing, you know what? I'm more miserable than I ever was, and now I can't go back and reverse it. I mean, if you do a little Google search, and you'll find people who, there's movies on it, documentaries, there's people putting articles up. I believe that the next Me Too movement will be, why did you let me do that? You know, right now the Me Too is I've been molested, I've been taken advantage of sexually by a man, whether it's a superior officer in the military, whether it's my boss, whether it's my priest. You know, that's a big movement right now. But I believe in another 10, 20 years, you're going to see a big Me Too movement of why didn't somebody stop me? Everybody was telling me the wrong advice, and I took all these hormones and I took these surgeries, and now I went from one sex to another. And I deeply regret it, and I'm more depressed than ever. And so first and foremost, I just want to deal with the facts, is that, I have a friend also, Ashley, who works in the medical field, and I was talking to him about this, and he says, you know, the reason why a lot of these people can actually have the government pay for their surgeries is because the sexual confusion, what are they calling it? They're not calling it confusion, sexual disassociation. I'm forgetting the actual technical name. But he was explaining to me that it always has been and still is labeled as a mental illness. And because it's a mental illness, we are obligated to treat these people. And the way you treat them is you give them what they want. And he was shaking his head, telling me this. He says, that is not the way we should treat it. But because of where we're at in society, the political correct view, I think there's people being brainwashed into thinking this is okay. But the Bible, you want to know what the Bible says? I mean, the Bible has warned us over and over again of knowing that you are who God created you to be and stick with who you are. Let's just look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And there's a warning given to the church here, okay? Now, he says, do you not know that the unrighteous, in 1 Corinthians 6, 9, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Now, he's going to give a big list here, but the first warning is, do not be deceived, because all sin comes with a deception, an excuse, a disclaimer. It's okay. I was born this way. Well, what if you're born a murderer? Or are you born a murderer? What if you're born a child molester? You know, I mean, you could make an excuse for everything, and then that becomes your identity, that becomes your excuse. And the first thing that Paul says to the Corinthians is, don't be deceived, because neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners. Sorry, the list is so long, Ashley. It covers more than just your question. Will enter the kingdom of heaven. And then he says, were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. So what Paul's saying to the believers, he says, you know, I'm not condemning you. I know that some of you were these things. Some of you used to identify as an adulterer or an idolater or a homosexual or a fornicator. That's what you used to be. But now you've repented and you've been washed by the blood of Jesus. That is the normal pattern of life for a Christian, is that we recognize whatever our natural sins are, we've got to be. Are you talking? I'm sorry.
Right. So, Pastor Mike, I also have a second question for you, if that's okay.
Well, wait, I didn't get to answer that one yet, Ashley.
Linda has something
so before
to say.
We go somewhere, we want to get off the political part of this, okay? And we want to get into the Bible. If, Ashley, you still consider yourself a Christian, then hopefully you will care what the Bible has to say.
Yeah.
Okay?
Well, that's what she
so
was
we're
asking.
Going to go to Psalm 139, and we're going to start at verse 13. Okay, but Ashley, I'm hearing echo back probably on your end. So if you've got a radio or something on, why don't you put that down a little
bit,
okay?
It's probably my apartment echoing. Yeah,
okay, really, that's okay, because I'm hearing myself come back. I'll deal with it. Psalm 139:13. For you, and he's talking to God, formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you. For I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret, and skillfully wrought in the lower parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. Okay, God made each of us in our mother's wombs. We were created by him. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. The way you popped out of your mama is the way God intended you to be. So if we're talking Bible, which is what this show is about, that is what we will talk about. The political realm of it, people who are not Christians, why should they care about following Christian guidelines? Why should they care about what our God of the Bible says if they don't even believe in him? But you, if you still consider yourself a believer, you need to consider that God does not make mistakes. We have someone up right now that, you know, her baby was born with some birth defects. She's on Facebook watching us right now, and they told her to abort that baby. Oh, you should see this little angel.
Wow.
She is so precious. They said, no, we know she's going to have some problems, but we will
really?
Not destroy her.
Yeah, no.
She is the most precious, most beautiful baby. She was, God formed her in the womb, and that is how God chose to form her. Ashley,
amen to that.
You can call yourself Max, but God formed you as Ashley. And basically, I don't think this conversation needs to go any further, because it gets into the political realm, which is what we do not deal with. Okay? We don't deal with that.
Right.
That's another show you can call for the political form. Our form is to tell you, what does God say? And God says, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works. You were created perfect the way you are. And I would say the world and society has probably messed you up on that, not God himself.
Right.
And if you sought God with your whole heart, put him first, didn't worry about what people said, didn't worry about what other people thought, but you decided in your heart, you're determined, you are going to follow God, you're going to follow God's ways, his instructions. Jesus says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. That's his words that he's put forward here. There is where you will find your peace, not trying to be something different than what God created you. He created you for a divine purpose. He loves you. He died on the cross for you exactly as he created you. He died for Ashley to save her from her sins. And he does have a wonderful plan for your life. He wants to use you, Ashley. But as long as you're allowing the world to confuse you, that's going to be a little bit hard. It takes a surrendered life. It says, I am crucified with Christ. That means I'm dead. I'm dead to my own rights. But nevertheless, I live, yet not I. Christ lives through me. And that's how we should have our lives be. And I'll tell you, sweetheart, above everything, that's where true peace and happiness comes from. Okay?
Amen.
So it doesn't come from me being Linda or Mike being Mike.
Yeah. Now, I do have another question. I want to hear that. But first, I want to say there's a couple of people commenting on Facebook that I was thinking about addressing. And by the way, Jamie posted that it was gender dysphoria was the word I was looking for. And I think that is it.
Yeah, gender dysphoria. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, that's the medical term. Now, he also said, you know, what if... You know, when you're saying you're wonderfully, fearfully and wonderfully made, what do you say to those people who are born, I'm going to mispronounce this word, but it's a word that describes you're born with both sexes. Now, and that is, you know, that
gender
is
fluid.
A, pardon me?
Gender fluid. I know a lot of people use that.
It was hermaphroditism, something like that. But the thing is, I know there are birth defects.
Yes.
And then you've got to decide how you're going to deal with the birth defect with surgeries. That's
usually
a different
thing. There is a very dominant one.
Oh, see, I don't know enough about that, but somebody in the medical field might go, well, when that happens, normally they're predominantly female. They just happen to have male testicles hanging from them or whatever. You know, somebody with a medical understanding of it will probably have a really good answer for that. But all I could say as a pastor is we need to really study and seek the Lord and talk to medical professionals and find out, is this a birth defect? Or is this fearfully and wonderfully made and go with it? You know what I mean? So anyway, what's your second question, Ashley? I was calling Amber.
What does it say about spiritually connecting with the ones that you've lost in the Bible? That's my other question as well.
The ones that you lost, like who have died?
Right. Like, is there a way of connecting with them or no? Or how does that work? If there's a realm on that?
Yeah, actually, the Bible does have things to say about that. If you do just a quick search of speaking with the dead, let's see, and let me just do a quick search, see if I can find some verses on that, because I know that the Bible warns that we're not supposed to be talking to the dead. And matter of fact, there's a parable that comes to mind where Jesus tells a parable of a rich man who was in Hades and he's in torment. And he says, you know, there was a big gap between him and others. And he says, oh, let me go back. Or could you send somebody back to warn my loved ones about this so that they don't end up in this terrible place where I'm at? And Jesus says that no, you can't do that. You can't. We can't send somebody because if they won't listen to Moses and the prophets, then they won't listen to somebody who even came back from the dead. And so what I hear from Jesus in that one parable is that people have the law. They have the God. Now we have the Gospels, too. That was before the Gospels was written. We have the Word of God. And so Jesus taught back in that parable when all we had was the Old Testament, look, if they're not going to listen to Moses and the prophets, then they're not going to listen to you or anybody else we send. And part of that parable, which I'm thinking right now on the go, and I can't think of the address of where the story is, but there's a description of a large gap between where the dead were and where the living were, and they couldn't bridge that gap. Now, there is something, Ashley, in the Bible called familiar spirits. If you do a good study and look it up in your Bible commentaries, familiar spirits, there is something that's very demonic where a familiar spirit will impersonate a dead loved one. And I've known of people who go to seances, they go to whatever. There's spiritual places you go to try to talk to your dead relatives. And if you do make contact with someone, it's not going to be your dead relative. It's going to be a familiar spirit. And the why it's called a familiar spirit is because these demons are familiar with the life of your dead relative, and they'll impersonate the life of your, and they'll start telling you lies to bring you into this whole spiritual realm of seeking direction from the spirit world. And as a matter of fact, that's where a lot of the cults say they get their information. You know, I know a lot of good Mormon people who will tell you that that their great grandmother appeared to them and said that the Mormon church is right, and so go this way. Well, it was a familiar spirit, even though that spirit said things that only grandma would have known. That spirit might say things that only your departed loved one would say, because they're a familiar spirit. You know, the spirit world knows lots of things that we couldn't naturally know. So I think it's a very dangerous thing, according to scripture, to go back and try to talk to the dead. As a matter of fact, the King Saul was strictly rebuked because he tried to bring up Samuel from the dead to talk to him. He went to a witch.
The Witch of Endor. Witch I'm reading Endor. It right now.
Yeah, and he was in big trouble and was judged by God for doing something like that. So first of all, it's forbidden all throughout the Old Testament and the New. And then secondly, it is false. If you do make contact with a familiar spirit, just with a spirit, it's not going to be your dead relative. So I would warn you against that sort of thing, because it will only lead you into following demonic paths. It's a way of deception. I hope that makes sense.
It was actually a friend of mine that was dealing with that, and she was wanting me to ask you that question. She was out of state, and she was asking me to ask you guys what you guys thought about that. So I'm glad I was able to find that out for her.
Good. Yeah, I think it's very, very dangerous. It's a way to open yourself up to get to hear from demons rather than your loved one. And if she's already made contact, do you know if she's heard from a dead relative?
She says that she heard from her dead grandfather that recently died like 3 months ago.
Uh-huh.
And mine also died like on October 19th, 2017, and I've been missing him. So I honestly don't really know, because I told her not to be messing with anything that has to deal with the dark world.
Good. Yeah. Now, I must say there are things I can't explain that I'm not quick to. I don't want to make a quick judgment on it. Where both Linda and I have each experienced things in our past where we felt like somebody who just died, like almost said goodbye to us on the way to heaven. You know, we've experienced things like that. But I'm not going to build a doctrine on it, and I'm not going to pursue after it, because I think those things are dangerous and we're warned against it. But there's, you know, I've heard our experiences and other people I know have experienced things like that. And I'm not there to try to put them down and make them feel dirty.
Right.
But I would just caution against pursuing and chasing after something like that.
Okay, going back to our first question, I had someone just send me a text. I don't know to verify it or not. But they said that DNA is either male or female, but that it never shows up as both.
Right.
So if you really want to know what you're born as, have your DNA checked on it, I guess. I'm not verifying that. I'm not stating it as a fact. I'm stating it as what someone has sent in as a text.
Good. And you know what that reminds me? I've seen numerous videos on YouTube, and boy, I wish I could just pull them up and tell you who it was, but of people who are pediatricians, people who are medical professionals who would really speak on this exact issue and say, look, I'm a medical professional, give all the degrees and everything. And they'll say, you are born either male or female, and the male DNA is very distinctly different than the female DNA. And the attributes of a man are totally different than the attributes and the personality. And there's so many differences that if you try to cross over, you're going to have more problems than you think you have now. So
Jamie's putting we're correct on that. Thank you, Jamie, for confirming that. I knew you'd have an answer to that one. We have a lawyer in our midst.
Yeah,
yes.
So he's listening in and giving. So he's the one who helped me out with that gender dysphoria thing. So anyway, you know, I would just caution because I think I feel bad. I feel like right now we're in such a movement that people are encouraged to just be who you think you should be and feel, you know, what do you identify as? And then another thing that's one of my pet peeves, and bear with me, Ashley, because you didn't ask this question, but this is for our listeners' sake, is that there's many, many people who would say, but I was born this way. And they might even say, ever since I was a little baby, I used to feel this way. And that's why we need to be born again.
Again. Yeah.
Because we were all born in sin. We are all born with unacceptable desires. I know people, I could tell you, I was born to like women. Does that mean I should be chasing after women? No, I married one. I'm going to stick with this one, you know? I think we're all born with certain tendencies. Some tendencies were good and or can be steered. Some are very, very evil and we've got to push down. I've known
that before, what you just said, like how people are seeing how they were born at this certain age, and this is how they feel like they're born to be like a man. I felt that. Like, I don't know if that's a sin to be feeling those feelings, like to be like, oh, yeah, I am FCM. You know, I'm going to start taking testosterone and all that stuff and work out so I can get to that point of getting surgery. You know, and I tried to bring it up to my mom about, you know, questioning it, and, you know, she gets upset about it. And that's why it's hard for me to even discuss it with anyone, honestly.
Sure.
And to question on these things. And, like, every time I tell her I've watched a video on, you know, FTM video, she's just like, why are you doing that? Like, are you saying this is who you are? Like, that's not exactly what I'm trying to say. What I'm trying to, you know, I'm just asking questions.
Right.
You know, I'm throwing questions out there.
And
you know,
I'm sorry, Ash. Of course, depending on who you ask is which direction you're going to be. Look, because you ask people who've had the surgeries or in the process of transitioning, and you will get a whole nother slant, and you'll get encouragement to do so. And I'm glad your question, I remember your question was, what does the Bible say? Okay. And I gave you more than that. I gave you some medical and some psychological answers here too. But I think something you said a moment ago, Ashley, about feelings. I don't know if it's a sin to feel this way. Feelings are not a sin. Acting upon them is what matters, because there's times I feel like punching somebody in the nose. And then I've go to the Lord and say, Lord, help me to keep my feelings under control. Help me not to act upon the things that I feel. There's been times in my youth, especially, I have felt like doing something I should not have done, and I didn't. Good thing. And so feelings are neither right nor wrong, as far as you can't control them. You can't see they're a sin, but the Lord... You can't control your feelings. You can't control your actions.
But you can control what you dwell on, what you think on. Mm-hmm. And we've got in, is it Philippians 4:8?
Yeah, whatsoever things are pure.
Yeah, that's what we're supposed to think of, the things that are true, the things that are pure. Whatever you fill your mind with, you're going to be tainted by it. We've been telling a lot of people this. You don't sit in the middle of a toxic pool and not slowly be poisoned by it. You may not even realize it, but if that's all you expose yourself to, that's what you're going to start accepting. That's why we go to church, to remind us to worship the Lord, to remind us we are His children, that we've given our lives to Him, because as human beings, we forget very, very quickly who we are and what we are supposed to be doing. So Ashley, what it comes down to, if you're a Christian, you call yourself God's child, then you should care what God thinks and follow what God says. If you do not believe in God, you do not consider yourself God's child, well, you know, they're sinners. Those people are sinners, and they're going to act like sinners. And we can't get on them for doing that. They're allowing their human nature to rule their lives. But as Mike said, we're born again, and we have a new nature in Christ, and His Holy Spirit is living in us. So you're putting God's Holy Spirit in a temple that you want to change into a different temple? Think about it. So Ashley, we have to take a break right now. Thank you for your call today. Honey, we love you. We'll talk to you later, okay?
Sounds great.
Okay, bye-bye.
You're listening to 94.1 The Voice, KBXL, Caldwell, Boise, radio you can believe in. Stay tuned, we'll be right back. Look Up airs every Monday through Friday afternoon from 2:30 to 3:30. Through Facebook Live, text, and phone, You can ask questions on what the Bible has to say about the real things that are going on in your life. If you'd like to text the Sassos, the number is 208-891-2635. The best way to have your question answered is to call the Sassos in the studio right now. That number is 208-377-3790. To learn more about Calvary Chapel Eagle, visit calvarychapeleagle.com. Now, here's Mike and Linda.
All right, here is Mike and Linda.
Hey, you know, we prayed on the way in. Lord, we want to talk about what you want. You directed the conversation.
Right.
We did not come in here today planning on talking about this. We've hit a couple topics this week we were not planning on talking on, but we trust that the Lord is using those topics, that He is bringing up what He wants us to talk about. And we told you folks, we pretty much will talk about anything, okay? But just like we did with Ashley, we're going to want to go to the Bible. This is not the show where we want to argue politics with people, okay? So don't go there. But if you want to know what the Bible says, we're going to try to find those scriptures that will support it, you know? And I feel for those who are struggling out there in the world, because it's almost become the cool thing to do to transgender one way or another. And it's because of the world and the worldly influence. We're not of this world anymore. We're just passing through here. This world's not our home. We are of a heavenly kingdom, and that's who we listen to, and that's who we live by. So hopefully we can encourage you in that. If you have more questions, somebody has something else they want to ask, it can be controversial, we'll tackle it. The number is 208-377-3790.
All right. Now, a couple things we wrap up before we move on here is I just want to warn you who are listening, as well as Ashley, that the Bible does warn us in 1 Corinthians 15:33 that not to be deceived, that bad company corrupts good morals. Or I think the New Living Translation says good character. And so the kinds of people you hang around with, it will rub off on you. That's what, as a matter of fact, I'm going to be teaching this Sunday about the secret of transformation. How does a Christian get transformed to be like Jesus? And the secret, let me just spoiler alert, it's hanging around with Jesus, okay? Whether it's worshiping Jesus, reading His Word, it's all about hanging around with Jesus, because who you hang around with is who rubs off on you and who you become like the more you hang around with people. So we're told that with the evil company corrupts good morals. Same thing with good company will do the opposite. Yeah, babe, what you got?
I was going to say, if you're in that point that you feel like you're a Christian, you feel like you've given your life to the Lord, but you are not seeing transformation in your life, please join us this Sunday at Calvary Chapel Eagle, 10 o'clock, North Star Charter School. It's up on Linder. We don't push the church very much. We don't advertise it, even though, I don't know, you've noticed, we never ask you for money. We never will. This is supported by Calvary Chapel Eagle. So every once in a while, it's okay to throw a plug in. But we're hitting the end of our series on worship, and that worship, true worship of God, will transform your life. If you're stuck and you haven't been able to get over that hump, please join us 10 a.m. And if you are out of town, if you don't live here, do you know you can live stream that? You can go up to our Facebook page. It's streamed on the Calvary Chapel Eagle Facebook page. If you go to cceagle.com, you will see a watch now, and that is active only on Sunday morning then. Watch along with us, because that is the secret of a victorious Christian life. The joy, the peace, and all those things we talk about is transformation in your own life. And we want that for you. That's why we're doing this. That's why we're on the radio. We pray, Lord, help us to reach someone for your kingdom. Help us to help somebody who's stuck, that loves you and wants to walk with you and has just been missing a piece or two here or there. Help us fill that in for them, okay? So we really want you to join us if you can. Because I have a feeling we got a revival sparking in our church. You want to see what that's like? Come visit us.
Okay, listen, I that gave me a moment to look up some verses for Ashley, who was just asking about consulting the dead. And if you go to Deuteronomy 18:11, Isaiah 8:19, there's several here, but let me just give you a sample. Deuteronomy 18:11 says that is forbidding one who conjures spells or mediums or spiritist or one who calls up the dead. So those are all considered in the same camp, that you are actually consulting a medium or a spirit or calling on the dead. Isaiah 8:19 says that why should men consult mediums and spiritists who whisper and mutter? Should not a people inquire of God? Why consult the dead on behalf of the living? That's Isaiah 8:19. So the philosophy of Scripture is, if you want to consult a spiritual being, consult God.
Yeah.
Seek the Lord and let the Lord. Now, maybe you could see, honey, somebody's giving us some verses, I think.
I did.
Okay.
I put them up there.
Okay. So, yeah, I can't see my
that
little
was me,
type
babe.
On my phone while I'm talking here. It's my eyes, they're going. So, anyway, the philosophy is that if you're going to seek help or guidance from the spirit world, go to God to seek help and guidance. Anything else is seeking spiritual advice from a non-God thing. It's not God. It's other. There are other spirits. And there's other spiritual forces. And I think there's four verses here that come up. Another one is Isaiah 19:3. Another one is Matthew. I think that's the one that's has some of the same words, but it's not talking about what the topic we're talking about. Okay. Another thing, listen, I was looking through my history in YouTube because I know I've watched videos from people who are experts in the medical field. The problem is a lot of these experts are silenced. They are not allowed to speak. Mm-hmm. They are not allowed to counsel people against having a sex change, against this gender dysphoria. As a matter of fact, in California, I believe they've just passed a law, or it may be in process of battling out, that if a pastor tries to counsel somebody who's struggling with homosexual desires or gender dysphoria, and the pastor is trying to counsel him away from going that direction, he could be arrested and thrown in jail. My brother told me that's the pitch, but I don't know if they actually passed that law or not. Maybe Jamie could answer that one. But one of the things I found in my history here, and this might be the documentary that I was talking about, is there's a YouTube video called I Want My Sex Back. It's transitioned transgender people who regretted their changing sex. And that is becoming more and more, I don't want to say popular, but prevalent. Because, you know, it's kind of like an experiment. And the more you let people do something, eventually, you know, it's like any kind of medical test or drug test. You get to let a bunch of people try this first, and then you get the results after you've got thousands of people trying it. And that's the problem. We won't really know really how bad this is until thousands, maybe tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of people have had sex change. And then we find out what percentage of them deeply regret their sex change. I think it's something that the verdict is not out yet. Yet the political correct approach is you let them, you don't judge them, you let them do that. Well, you could be saving their life by not letting them.
Ashley, you know, found that already.
She found that
too.
Oh,
yes.
Oh, good,
yeah.
Very good. Okay, yeah, I've got a bunch of things in my history here, and I'm trying to find which one was the one I'm thinking of the medical professional. I even posted it up on my Facebook one time because it was so powerful, of somebody who knows DNA and knows the medical profession and is cautioning the listeners, listen, don't go this way. Don't believe this lie, okay? All right, so we're going to get into our unless you had something else, hon, I'm looking over across the table at you. But what we've been looking at is how to become a Christian, how to have a relationship with God. There's 7 points here. The first three we've looked at. One was recognize that God loves you with an immense love and desires to save you. We looked at verses for that. You've got to understand, people won't go to God unless they know God wants them to come, okay?
Yeah.
Secondly, it was acknowledge that you're a sinner, lost without Jesus Christ. There's another thing. You don't go to a doctor unless you know that you're sick. And so in order to have a relationship with God, you've got to realize, oh my goodness, I am sick. I am a sinner, and the wages of sin is death, and I need a Savior. So number two, acknowledge that you're a sinner, lost without Jesus. If you're just tuning in or you didn't listen to yesterday's program, go to lookuptojesus.com. You could podcast or listen to our shows because we've covered all the scriptural background to these already. The other one we covered yesterday was that you've got to accept that salvation is a gift offered freely through Christ. It's not something to be earned by righteous deeds or good works. We spent a lot of time on this yesterday because it's one of my pet peeves is people thinking that they've got to earn a gift. God gives you a gift and you've got to pay him back or you've got to earn it, or they're telling others the gift really isn't yours until you jump through all these hoops. That's a lie. Okay, we looked at that. There's a lot of verses on that. Now, the next one, number four, which we're going to pick up right now, is repent of any known sins, confessing them to Jesus.
Amen. Yes.
Now, I like this one. And one of the things that troubles me is there are people who go to extremes, and they may find a theological truth in Scripture and go to extremes in any truth. Okay, for instance, I could tell you, we are not saved by our works. We are saved by grace through faith, and that's it. And of course, we've got the mantra, by grace alone, through faith alone, through Christ alone, using Scripture alone, and you could make all these chants, but you also got to carefully read the Scripture. And when the Scriptures say you must repent, then guess what? You must repent. And when the Scripture says that you're created unto good works, that means now that you're saved, God's got some good works for you to do. So carefully read the Scriptures and don't just scream your mantras louder and louder. And I've actually heard people say that, you know, no, we're saved by grace, and so don't you dare do anything. And if you think you're going to get there through repentance or through baptism or through good works, wait a minute. You don't get there through, but these are all part elements of the gospel that we've got to accept and not fight and find ourselves fighting against them if Jesus said it.
Hey, guys, we haven't told you this in a while, but for those that have you been listening for a long time, you know that one of our big points is look at the Scripture in context. Do not just popcorn Scriptures out there. I like this little one and that little one. You've got to read the Scriptures on either side of it. Read the chapter, read the book. Who is it written to? What is the context of it? Because anybody taken out of context can be misquoted and misrepresented. But we like those ones. They're all our comfort Scriptures. Yes, but read what's before and after. It doesn't change to what that Scripture says. It will add to it and it will add understanding. And wouldn't you rather know truth and understand truth than hang on to something that may be comfortable, but it's a lie? That's our concern for you. So it's always check the context. Read before, read after, know why that Scripture is saying what it's saying, okay?
All right. I'm still distracted here because I'm still trying to find some of those. When I get a chance, I'm looking at my YouTube history.
You can do that,
yeah,
background.
Yeah, well,
I love that. This first Scripture that you have listed here, and it is Mark 1:15, and it's in red in my Bible. So if you have a red letter, it's red in yours too. And it says, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Okay? There is a repentance that needs to be done. That's the part of being born again, is you turn away from, you renounce your old life, your first nature, and you take on this new nature of Christ.
Right. And by the way, repentance, and I've said this many times, hopefully this isn't the first time you're hearing it. Repent, the Greek word metaneo, just means to change your mind. It changed your attitude. And of course, anybody who comes to God, they've got to change their mind about a lot of things. I used to think that I'm always right. Now I realize God's the only one who's always right. I used to think that it's okay to live in this sin or that sin. And now I realize that's a sin and it's displeasing to God. And you know, you could go on and on. There's a lot of things that you got to change your mind about when you come to God. You know, I used to think that the Bible was just a book, you know, and it was another one of those religious books filled with myths. And once you come to Jesus Christ and you get born again, you go, The Bible's the Word of God. Your mind changes about so many different things. And because your mind changes about it, your actions change. Because I believe that the Bible's the Word of God, I want to read it. I want to know it. I want to live by it. And so repentance is a thing that changes your attitude, changes your mind, and then it changes your actions as well. So you got something, hon?
Yeah, I was going to say, Jamie just looked that up and responded back. And it seems at this point that that law of prohibiting certain types of therapy is under mental health providers. But I think they are trying to extend it further and covering pastors in the church under that too. So he just added something else here. I have to see what it is, but it's way back here. So
yeah, good. Because really, actually, the mental health providers are more under the legal jurisdiction of the state of California or whatever state you're in. That's where all the battle takes place first, folks, California. And so what happens is they'll start with the mental health providers. Don't you dare counsel somebody and treat them like you got to deprogram them if they think that they're gay. And so what they're trying to do in California, and that's probably it, Jamie, because I was trying to remember how far they've gotten with it. They're trying to get it to the point where now they're going to hold pastors responsible, that if a pastor in mercy and grace tries to give biblical counsel to someone and say, no, you're being lied to, that's a sin, you need to live according to what God made you, not according to what your new association and identity. Don't believe that lie. Mm-hmm. By the way, as Christians, we do have a new identity in Christ.
Yes.
And our old identity was sinner. Our new identity is saint. And so I do believe that Christians have a little bit of an identity change to deal with. You know, we could talk about gender dysphoria, but I'm talking about identity dysphoria. There is a bit of an identity transition that we must make when we get saved. When we accept Christ as our Savior, all the things we identified with as I was born this way and this comes natural, now I realize I might have even been born that way because I came out kicking, screaming, and biting and spitting, and now I realize it's not good to kill other people. It's not good to stab or punch or hit and kill. You know, Christ wants to change our nature. He calls us to repentance. He gives us His Holy Spirit, and He calls us to change, and He helps us change. He doesn't just put all the weight on our own shoulder that we're supposed to change ourselves. So
Jamie's saying that if we're only providing spiritual counseling, then you have an argument that you're not providing mental health services. And that's where it fits under right now, right? You know, is that the mental health. And believe me, we're not the people to counsel somebody on mental health.
Right. And so, by the way, back when I lived in California, and I know that's what they're doing now, at least among the Calvary chapels, the pastors love to do what we used to call counseling, but now they're not allowed to call it counseling anymore because that can be considered a mental health job description. And so they're very careful that when you want to make an appointment to see a pastor because you've got some issues to talk about, they call it biblical guidance.
Yeah.
And that protects them legally. I know my brother George is on staff at a big church in Southern California, and he says we don't call it counseling. We don't even call it spiritual counseling. We call it biblical guidance, because if you're going to come and talk to a pastor, you're going to get guidance on what the Bible says about your issues and your questions and your problems. So that's safe. We're in Idaho, so I don't know how much we have to worry about all that stuff, but boy, it's coming.
It's coming. Hey, we have a question because we're back on our scripture that we're going through today.
Okay.
And someone put in here, be a saint. What else is there? Okay, because you said we were born a sinner. We have a new nature. We do have a new identity. You were a sinner. Now you're a saint. What else? Is there more to it? Or
what else is there in addition to being a saint? Is that the question?
I'm not quite sure. I have a feeling somebody was listening to that line and wanted to see where else you were going to go with that.
Because the thoughts that came to me, and you could text Linda, she's watching the phone. The thought that came to me right away hearing that is, I know the Bible talks about what we used to be. As a matter of fact, what I was quoting to Ashley in 1 Corinthians 6:9, it gives you a list, 9, 10, and 11, all the things that are sins in God's eyes. And then Paul says, and you once were these things. You used to be these things, but you've been washed, you've been cleansed, you've been born again. As a matter of fact, in Romans 11:30, Paul says, as For as you were once disobedient to God, and yet now you've obtained mercy. And so we used to be sinners. That was our identity. You were once darkness.
Thing she's putting down here, and I think it's because she wanted you to keep explaining, okay, we're not just called saints. We should act and embody being a saint. We are new creatures.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is true. And I'm kind of thinking here that possibly the hang up was, oh no, we switched topics back again before we finished that we live like saints. That's one of the evidence of Christ in us is the way we live our life. And that's being said over and over again. It's not a work that saves us. It is a natural fruit. It is an evidence that is in our life.
Yeah. Now, the scripture that came to mind as you were talking about that is the scripture in 2 Peter, where Peter actually tells his readers to add to your faith. But let me show you how he starts. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, he says, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who has called us by his glory and virtue." Now, there's more, but listen, what Peter is saying is everything we need has been given to us to live the right life before God. Now that we're born again, his divine power has given us everything we need that pertains to life and godliness. And it says through the knowledge of him who called us by his glory and virtue. The knowledge is your Bible. Yeah, the knowledge where we're going to get most of that information is from the Bible. Now, there's times the Lord will speak to your heart and nudge you this way or that way. Mm-hmm. But I'd say the primary source of knowledge, of knowing right from wrong, up from down spiritually, is reading your Bible. But then it goes on to say, by which we have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now listen, you might want to write this verse down. It's 2 Peter 1:4, what I'm reading right now. What Peter is saying is, man, you've been given some precious promises. You know how people love that saying, the precious promises, and they want to memorize some of your favorite verses. But he says that through these promises, you could become partakers of the divine nature. What's that mean? That means you could be like Jesus. Jesus came, not only, he didn't die on the cross just to give you forgiveness of sins. Yes, he died for that. But he died on the cross to give you deliverance from sin, power over sin, forgiveness of sin, and a new nature. We're born again. What born again is, that now I don't just have this fleshy carnal nature, but I'm born again spiritually alive, and I have a new nature. It's the divine nature. Now, I don't mean you're God. Don't feed some new age thoughts into this. But God's ultimate goal for every believer is that we become more like Jesus. And the only way you could do that, it isn't by this fleshy old man trying to copy Jesus. It's through receiving a new nature. It's through being born again. And according to 1 Peter chapter 1, it's through receiving the Word of God, believing the promises in the Word of God, and following the instructions in the Word of God. And it says, by which we have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature. Listen, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. I mean, lust, by the way, lust isn't just a sexual term. Lust is desires. And it's lust is usually referring to in the Bible an inappropriate desire, though sometimes, like in your King James, it might say the flesh lust against the spirit, the spirit lust against the flesh. Sometimes it's used to really show a point that there's a battle going on. But lust, basically, in the scriptures, it's talking about evil desires. And so it's talking about that we need to escape that. You know, that's something that Ashley was calling us about. We've all got evil desires. We're all born with evil desires. And if we just go whatever our flesh says to go, we just go that route and we just follow our heart. We already talked about Jeremiah said that the heart is exceedingly wicked. Who could know it? We talked about that yesterday. But if you just follow the desires of your flesh and say, well, I was born this way, well, then you could say then it's right. There's nothing wrong with being a serial killer or a rapist or a child molester, because it's just they're just following the natural desires of their flesh. Folks, I hope you see there's a reason why we need to be born again. The flesh is wicked. The flesh needs to be put to death. As a matter of fact, throughout Scripture, that's the term used to the Christian, is to crucify the old man, put to death these deeds in the body, those evil desires, as Ashley was asking earlier about these feelings. Sometimes we just got to say, I rebuke that in Jesus' name, okay? You got thoughts that shouldn't belong there. You got feelings that are against God's will for you. Then you need to, my Christian friend, say, I rebuke that in Jesus' name. I renounce that thought. I renounce that feeling. I shake it off. Lord, I am yours. I'm a child of God. I'm a saint, and I'm going to live like a saint, not like a sinner. And so that's the battle that's going on here. And then it's funny because after this, and I'm watching the clock because I hope we have time to go through this, there's a real complicated section of scripture in 2 Peter 1:5 that Peter then goes on to say, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith. And then he gives a list of things that we need to add to our faith. Meaning, folks, Christian friend, it's not enough just to go, well, I have faith. What else do I need? Well, you have faith, but the Bible tells you to add to your faith. Well, I don't need to be saved with anything but by grace through faith. I agree with you. But now that you're saved, God tells you to add to your faith. Are you going to listen to it or are you going to argue theology? Okay. He says, add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue knowledge. Now, each one of these has a specific meaning, but, you know, virtue is like a purity of living. It's being virtuous, you know. Matter of fact, let me pull it up in the King James, because in my Bible, I can't actually look up the Greek without changing it to King James or New American Standard in this software. Add to your faith, actually, it says in the New American Standard, moral excellence. I like that, moral excellence. So that's moral goodness. So don't just have faith. Be moral. Add morality to your faith. Now, there's a whole list here. I hear the music playing. Go to 1 Peter chapter 1 and read it yourself and do a word study. It's not enough just to sit around and say, I believe. God wants you to move forward. He wants you to grow. He wants you to become more than you are. Folks, God bless you guys. It's Friday. Go to church this weekend. Hope to see some of you at Calvary Chapel Eagle. See you next week.
If you'd like to know more about Calvary Chapel of Eagle, just go to the website at cceagle.org. Be sure and join Pastor Mike every Saturday at 8 p.m. and on Sundays at 8 a.m. for his radio show, It's All About Jesus. If we ran out of time and you didn't get a chance to call in, you can send your questions to lookup at cceagle.org. And may the Lord richly bless you as you continue to look up to Jesus.
Look full in his wonderful face. I want to grow dim, standing next to you.